We're in a series of lessons called Altars. We've been in this series for this is the fifth week this week. It was started, if you remember, if you've been with us or following online, back in the Hebrides in Scotland, there was a revival that broke out 70, 80, 90 years ago, started by two 80-some-year-old ladies who got tired of coming to church, and there's three or four or five people in the church, and there's nothing happening in the city. Nobody's getting saved, no presence of God, no joy, no nothing going on in the kingdom of God in the church or around the community and even the nation. And so these ladies got a hold of Isaiah 44:3 that says, God says, I will pour water on him who's thirsty and floods on the dry ground. Come on. They got a hold of that one scripture, began praying it and praying it and praying. Two people, two grandmas began praying it, and all of a sudden, God showed up in the city. God showed up in the church. People started getting saved. People are driving their cars out there all around town, around their area, and began repenting to God. Conviction would come on them from two gray-haired grandmas. Come on, shout out to the gray-haired grandmas in the room. Come on. Some gray-haired, come on, praying grandmas. And they had a guy that came named Duncan Campbell, and he was an evangelist, and he came, and for 4 years he was around that whole island in Scotland and around the different island, Wales, and I don't know what other country he went to, and they began having revival, and they just saw God do amazing, amazing things where people were hungering for God to pray individually, corporately as a church, different churches in different places, different communities praying. There was just pockets all around. What they found was this, that they coined a phrase that God comes where he's wanted. He comes where he's wanted. And there were churches that said, we resist that. We don't really think that's important. God never showed up there. So listen, by you in your own life, in your own singleness, as you're a man or woman, a teenager, whatever you are, you're single, you're a man or a woman, or you're in a household and you're a single mom with kids, or you're a married couple with kids, or in the church, it matters when you pray. Jesus comes where he's wanted. Come on, everybody. How about you? But I want him up in here. I want him in my family. I want him in my church. How about you? Come on, everybody. Yeah, I do too. So we found out that he said after the fact, they interviewed him, you know, after the fact, 4 years they were there, and just city after city, and God was showing up, and they interviewed him 4 years later, you know, 4 years after the revival, and said, kind of, what was the genesis? Kind of, what was the process of how God did what he did? And he said, he looked back and he said, really what happened that we can find out is that if the people would follow this little script, if you will, and begin calling out to God, God wants to fall on the altar of the heart. You. God wants to fall on the altar of the home. God wants to fall on the altar of the church coming together. And God wants to fall on the altar of a city. Again, cities coming together. We'll talk about that starting next week. But God's got something to do. He wants your heart to be directed toward him. So a scripture we've been saying for week after week, fifth week now, the book of Leviticus chapter 6, it says that the fire has to continually be burning on the altar. And the priest's job every day was to go to the altar, that first thing they came to bring sacrifice, and make sure there's wood on the fire. Your job every day is to put wood on your fire. So the question we've asked every week is, did you put wood on your fire this week? Come on, everybody. Did you put wood? Meaning, did you get in the Word? Did you have your heart stirred a little bit? Did you read a scripture and it convicted you? Did you get along with God and you cried a little bit and repented of your sin or got some things right and some attitudes and some adjustments? And were you alone with God where there was any fire stirring in your heart this week? If not, it's a new week today. Come on, this is the first day of the week. Come on, everybody. So let's start this week. Come on, just because that's the way it was doesn't mean it has to go again this week. I can start brand new. Come on. His mercies are new every morning. Come on, church. Great's his faithfulness. Come on. Had a little rough week, didn't quite do it. Come on, change this week. And then the altar of the home. So if you're a dad, you lead the house spiritually. Come on, you lead the house spiritually. Men are supposed to lead in every realm. And if you're a single mom, you're graced to lead your house. Your grace to lead you. Come on, get prayer in the house. Get devotion in the house. Come on, get God in the house. And when your kids come home from high school, or they come home hanging out with their friends, and they got that kind of stank on them. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, they got an attitude. They got a little something on them. Then you just say, hey, we're going to pray in here. We're going to wash that off your little heart right now. Come on, that's not how we focus. That's not what we do. That's not what we believe. Come on, Jesus is Lord in our hearts, and he's going to be Lord in our homes. Can I get an amen up in here? And so we've been talking about this last one here, this third one, the altar of the church, and really the altar of the church when the church comes together and prays. And I know we pray on Monday night. I know it's 6 o'clock. I know you've been working all day. And I know some of y'all can't get here. And that's cool. That's great. That's all right. But if you can, come. Come. Help us pray and ask that God would magnify his great name in this place. Amen. That signs, wonders, and miracles would happen.
That's right.
That God would show up as we pray here, and God would show up in here and change all of our lives, but God will also start showing up in our city as we pray as well. Jesus said this, we read this last week in Matthew chapter 16, here's a key scripture, verse 18, Jesus said this, I will, come on, read it out loud, will you? Come on, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Notice Jesus talking, I will, that's emphatic, I will, I'm committed, I will build my church. And as Kende said a moment ago, the church isn't just the building, we call it the church, but we are the church. Jesus is the head of the body, and we are the body. Called the church. Come on, everybody. We are part of the church. Come on. I need you. You need me. I need you. I need the color you are. I need the hair color you are. I need the sex, the gender you are. I need the age you are. I need the grace you are. I need what you bring to the body. I need you, and you need me up in here. We need each other. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it, will not be able to overcome it. The church that's committed to allowing Jesus to build them is the church, is the people, is the group that will continually prevail and overcome. We're not supposed to be overcome by the evil. We're not supposed to be overcome by the darkness. We're not supposed to be overcome by culture. We are the prevailing force in the earth, the church of Jesus Christ. So we said this again, just by way of reminder, we keep saying the same thing, but the church isn't a building, the church is a people. The church isn't a building, the church is a people. Get that thought. We just have to grind that thought in our hearts, because many, many times we're not taught this growing up. Again, the church is the building, the brick, the mortar, the grass. It's that place is called the church. But we are the church. We are taking the power of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God everywhere we go. To work, come on, to the gym, to Starbucks, to the coffee shop, wherever you frequent, you are the church, and you're taking God with you everywhere you go. So listen to me, you are a walking, talking sign and wonder, God speaking, devil casting out, making wrong things right, making all things new, just like God would do up in here, everywhere you go. Come on, everybody. The presence of God in your life, in your heart, everywhere you go. So I'm not trying to pray up and come on and let you know, just need a prayer meeting when I'm confronted with any kind of darkness. We don't find that in the life of Jesus. Jesus walks out, and there's a brother in Mark chapter 5 of the Gadarenes full of the devil. Jesus doesn't go, I wish I prayed and got alone with God today. He's in the presence of God all the time.
Right.
Listen to me. Whether he prayed that morning or not. Now, his custom was to get alone with God. But it's not like, I should have read my Bible a little bit this morning. I'm in the middle of a tough situation. No, come on. God's word will come up in you like a fire. And like a hammer that'll break rocks into pieces. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, everywhere you go, authority comes. Everywhere you go, dominion comes. Everywhere you go, power comes. Everywhere you go, purpose comes. Come on, everywhere you go, healing comes. Everywhere you go, answers come. Because you're the church of Jesus Christ. I will build my church. I will build. He's committed to building your and my life collectively, individually, but collectively. We'll talk about that in just a second. And so we said this last week, that when the church knows him more, we'll see more what he can do. I believe this with all my heart. When we know him more, when we spend time with him more, when we're connected with him more, we're going to see more of what he can do. So this is why it's so important in my own life, in your own life, I get that altar in my heart where I continue to put the wood of God's word in my heart. I continue to get the fire burning, because it's not just for me. It is, but it's not. It's for you as well. And it's not just for you because, like, I'm a pastor for you. It's that I need to be a person of the body of Christ, a believer that's got something to give to somebody around me that's weary, that's needing Jesus, that's needing a word from God, So I got to get alone from God. Listen, I got to get alone with God because my kid's going to need to hear from God when they can't hear from God yet. Amen. Come on, parents. So how's God going to build? Listen, he builds us individually, but he also builds us collectively. He puts us in a body called the church. So he's committed to building you. But this isn't just you going to the gym, getting built up yourself and getting buff spiritually yourself. Because we've seen the guys and the people that kind of know God and have this encounter with God, but they're never connected with a body. Can I tell you? Those folks are weird. They never connect with a body. It's like they're too spiritual to get connected to a body. And there's a little bit of grievousness or sin, and I can't get around that. And they're weird because the weirdness leaves you when you get connected in a body. Because if you're a man, you get connected with other men, and a man that knows you can come up and, go and say to you, you're a little weird. Because we're going to try to get the weirdness out of you. All right, here we go. Maybe that didn't land too well, but all right. He builds us individually. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not talking to you. You're not weird. I'm not talking to you. How's he connect us, right? How's he connect us? He connects us in a local body. That's what he does. So listen to me. Listen. Come on, eyes on me. Are you connected in Spectrum? Or come on, anybody, we got this cord at the house, and again, we're trying to charge stuff. You know, I'm on my laptop, and then Kimberly, she's on her iPad, and she's always on the iPad playing 21 or whatever she's playing. She's like card sharp. We're getting ready to go to casino. We're gonna have some money here pretty soon. She's playing cards or 21. I don't know what she's doing, and I'm kidding everybody. Some of you are going, dear Lord, I'm not going to tithe anymore in this church, dear Lord. I'm kidding. But we've got this cord, and if you don't put on one side of this extension cord, on the one side, it's a little bit jacked up. It's a little janky. And so you put your plug in there to charge, and if you're not careful, you think it's connected. But listen to me. I got an iPhone. How many iPhone people? Come on, any iPhone people? How many Android people? Boo. Oh, wow. That's like half. Man, that's like kind of come on. Some Androids up in the room. Wow. I'm going to have to talk to somebody from Apple to bring the prices down or something. We don't like you guys because we send you videos and they show up like this. What's up with that? You get on a little group chat and then somebody says, send me the video. Anyway, Android people are problems, really. They're problem people. I'm only kidding. I'm getting some stares right now, I'm telling you. For sure I'm not giving now. I heard that. Anyway. But we got this extension cord, and if you're not careful, like on an iPhone, maybe it's the same with the Android. I don't know how y'all guys work. But you plug it in and my little thing goes bzzz, and I know I got some connection. And then it shows up a little green. Bzzz, bzzz. When's the last time at church you heard a bzzz? I'm connected. I'm drawing some power. I got some power. I'm receiving and I'm giving. I'm receiving power. Now I can send a text. I'm receiving power. Now I can send a stupid meme. Come on, somebody. How connected are you? How connected? James 5, let's go, James 5. Y'all are listening slow, we gotta get going here. James 5, 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What a scripture, mark it down. If you do not know this, you need to know this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're gonna pray, by all means pray, but make sure your prayer is effective. Make sure your prayer is fervent. Make sure your prayer is coming from you know you're right with God. not perfect before God, but I'm right with God by the blood of Jesus. Come on, everybody. That we were talking about all morning. I know I'm right with him. Not because I'm perfect, never going to be perfect, but the blood of Jesus is working in me. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation says, causes tremendous power to be made available. The effective, fervent prayer, not just of somebody who thinks they should pray, wonders if they should pray. A person who prays. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man causes tremendous power to be made available. Dynamic in its working, one translation says. Check it out here. Elijah. Come on, we say Elijah. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a man that, come on, like somebody said, come on, put his pants on one leg at a time. Elijah was a man that put his socks on the right foot, the left foot. Elijah was a man that had some difficulty, had some challenges, but also saw God's goodness. Elijah was a man that got a little hungry and had to eat. Elijah was a man with some rent payment or some mortgage payment. Elijah was a man or a woman, we'd say, just like you and me. That's what James is saying. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years. 18, and he prayed again. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Elijah, again, James is saying, James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, he writes this letter to us, and he says, Elijah, don't get the thought that Elijah, what Elijah did was any different than what you can do. Elijah was a man just like you, with a nature just like you. He had a spirit, he had a soul, he had a body. He had some challenges. He ran from Jezebel, we know. He called down fire and then he got a little afraid and he ran and he was questioning God and didn't know where God was in the middle of it, just like you do sometimes. And yet he prayed earnestly, fervently. God answered this brother. So again, look on the screen real quick, something to know. James is saying what Elijah received because of prayer wasn't because he was a prophet, but because he was a prayer. Listen to me, my plea for everybody in the room, for everybody as an individual, the altar of God, fire in your heart in prayer, the altar of my family. We're going to be a praying family in this house. We are going to be a praying church in our church. This is what we do. Listen to me. Come on. This is what we do. This is who we are. We got all kind of things that we don't know how to do, how God's going to work in our city. We don't know how God, but we see God when in other places when people cried out to God and he swept through a city and caused cities to be transformed by his power. We want God to do it like that again. Amen, everybody. Come on. So he didn't get it because he was a prophet. He got it because he was a prayer. God gave him the ability as he prayed. God gave him the answer to open heaven, to shut heaven. Rain came, rain stopped. Listen to me, this is the same for you and me. And it talks about how he did it in 1 Kings 18. It was through perseverance. He continued to pray. He prayed when it didn't look like anything was happening. And he kept after it. I'm encouraging you again to keep on praying. I know, listen, if everything you're praying for got answered, come to my house tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and I'll give you a few things to help me pray about. Because I got a list. Come on, everybody. Anybody beside me got a little bit of a list going on? I need Jesus up in here. Yeah, yeah. So God gave him the power. We could say this way, what Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. I've given you the power to bind, or loose. I've given you the power to open or to shut. I've given you the power to start or to stop. I've given it to you. I've given it to us as the church. Matthew 21. Read it last week. Let's recap real quick. Matthew 21, Jesus went to the temple, the temple of God, and he drove out those who bought and who sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Notice this is something Jesus did, drove them out and overturned things. And so listen to me, here's what's going to happen when Jesus gets involved in your life. One of the things he's going to do is he's going to drive things out of your life and he's going to overturn things in your life because he wants his power to come into a clean vessel. And he said to them, it is written, my house, come on, read this with me. Come on, one, two, three, read it. My house shall be called a house of prayer. But you made it a den of thieves, he said. And the blind came and the lame came to the temple and he healed them. So Jesus comes in the temple and goes, this is what isn't what it's designed for. It's not supposed to be a swap meet. You're not supposed to be having doves and having all kind of stuff and sell them to the people at an exorbitant price so they can offer it to God, even though you're ripping them off. He said, this is what this is all about. He said, my house is to be a house of prayer. One translation says, for all generations. My house, listen to me, my house up in here, the house of God, where God dwells in me like he does you. This house, individually, the altar of God, the power of God, my life, a house of prayer. My family, a house of prayer. The church of Jesus, a house of prayer. And would to God in our city, churches all over, houses of prayer. Where we're going to see God show up like never before. My house, he says, shall be called a house of prayer. John talks about this in his gospel, but he doesn't go in great detail. But he says this, that Jesus added a phrase. He said, the zeal of my house has eaten me up. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The zeal of my house, the passion of my house, the love for your house, the devotion for your house has consumed me. It burns in me like a fire is what he's saying. The zeal for your house. Listen to me. Have you got any zeal for the house of God? Amen. Where I'm praying not just for me, not just for my needs, but I'm praying for the purpose of God for Spectrum Church. Come on, can I ask you? Are you helping me pray for us? Or is all your prayer about you and your job and cray cray at your work and them kids up in there? Is that where all your prayer is? And that dude who flipped you off, who cut you off again every morning, and that's what your prayer is? Bind him, Lord. I don't want him loosed. I want him bound. I want him stopped. I want him. And nothing wrong with praying for yourself. But are you helping me? Are you helping us? Are you helping the kingdom of God? Pray for Spectrum Church. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven for Spectrum Church. Come on, fill us and fill us again, oh God. Cause people to be saved and come to the knowledge of your truth, oh God. Well, clap a little bit louder if you're gonna clap. All right. So look. As God's house, we're called to pray individually. We've said that. As God's house, we're called to pray individually. But as God's house, we as a church are called to pray together collectively. As God's house, I need to pray individually. But as God's house, we get together collectively and we pray. Man, what happened after this when Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer, and he drives all those guys out? We read it. It says, the blind came and the lame came and they were all healed. Listen. Again, we see the natural side. They were physically healed, physically blind saw, physically lame could walk, paralyzed, maybe got a, you know, stiff leg, whatever, arthritis, whatever it was, all this stuff. But they were healed. What happens when we come together, when you come together with God and pray? When you and your family come together and pray, what happens when we all collectively come together and pray? We all can start seeing things we don't see. That's right. Things that have been out of joint. I can't get to where I need to go. Can't be. I don't know. Just got this thing. I feel like I'm stuck in mud, and I keep going around in a circle. It seems like no doors are open. They're all shut up. I feel like I'm. Like I'm paralyzed. Not when I pray. Not when I pray. And not when the kingdom of God prays. Because things that are shut get open. Things that are stopped get unstuck. Things that are bound get loose. Come on, church. Come on. Listen to me. This might be the best thing I say all day. Here we go. Prayer isn't a thing. Prayer is the thing. It's not just a little thing that we're just kind of like add on, a little meeting on a Monday night from 6 to 7. It's a little odd time, I get it, but if you can come, please come. Purposely, just get off work, come on down here, come late. We have some folks that come late because that's just traffic on the highways. And they come rolling here from being cut off, and they come in here and just join with us and pray. Help us, bring your kids. We don't care if they scream a little bit. We'll put them in the back. Thank God for the Gio kids. Come on, give it up for Giuseppe and Ashley. They come every week with the three amigos. Come on. Hey, come on. Let's talk about that for just a little bit. You go to parties. How many people got a little party to go to after church today? Got a little family gathering? Anybody? No, nobody? Wow, this is like amazing. Okay, most people are your whole weekend's full. And then you get over to your friend's house, and guess what that is? The parents are talking, and then the kids are, chaos, and we are okay with it there. But when it comes to a prayer meeting here, we kind of think, don't you dare open your mouth. Now, we don't want kids jumping around and swinging from the chandeliers or pulling stuff off the wall, but a little bit of noise never hurt nobody in prayer. Jesus is so opposite than religion. Jesus says, bring the kids around me. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Come on, everybody. I like a little bit of noise, Jesus says. Just no poopy diapers. We draw the line there. Luke chapter 10. Are we doing all right, everybody? Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, meaning Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Now listen, come on. If anybody calls your name twice, you in trouble up in here. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Come on, everybody say one thing. Come on, say it like you mean it. One thing. David said in Psalm 27, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in your temple. In a time of trouble, you will hide me in your pavilion, and you will set me on high above the enemies around me. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. One thing I have desired. He says to her, one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, Mary, or Martha, listen to me, honey. You're busy and distracted with many things. This isn't the only thing. You got a lot that you got to deal with that you haven't quite got divine order in. The most important thing is what your sister's doing right now. Listen to me. Mary chose to sit at his feet and to hear his word. Martha could have chosen to sit at his feet and hear his word. This ain't the time to be cooking the lamb. This ain't the time to be getting the lobster. Come on, this ain't the time to get the hummus out. This ain't the time to make sure the house is all clean. We got Jesus up in here, and if he's coming to the house, let the house be dirty. Let the lawn need to be mowed. Let the dog run around. I'm gonna sit at his feet. I'm gonna hear what he's got to say. Listen to me. It's not that Mary was better than Martha. The idea, here it is, look on the screen. The idea is Mary before Martha. One more time. The idea is not that Mary was better than Martha. The idea is Mary before Martha. What does that mean? We need to get in Jesus' presence, then we work. We get before him. We pray. We serve then. But before we serve, we pray. Before we serve others, we sit with him. Why is this so important? Let me talk to you pastorally. For 39 years, been doing this. Here's what I've seen. If you work without worship and sitting at Jesus' feet, you get tired, you get frustrated, you get weary where you want to quit. You start talking about burnout. You start talking about nobody appreciates me around here. You start talking about they didn't show up again. You start talking about, well, if they really knew what I did, they should be paying me by now. What you are is you are a Martha, and you have taken yourself out from under the power of the Word and the Spirit, getting before Jesus, and you are begin doing things for God, not in the Spirit, but in the flesh. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, let me tell you what, honey, you got a lot of stuff going on. You're distracted, you're worried with all kinds of things. And the only remedy to get you back on course is Jesus would say this, like in John 15, you need to abide with me, you need to stay with me, you need to rest with me, you need to wait with me, you need to spend every day praying with me. If that is what a person needs, that is what collectively we need as a church. And I wish it ended there, but in John chapter 12, verse 1, pick it up again. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus comes to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, was, and he was raised from the dead, and they made him supper. They made him supper. Guess who they are? And Martha served. They made the brother supper. They made Jesus supper. There was Lazarus who was dead, and Jesus rose him from the dead. And it says this, Lazarus was one of the brothers who sat at the table, verse 3, and Mary then took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Again, Martha hasn't changed. Martha is serving, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus, and Mary anoints his feet with this oil. And the scripture says, the aroma filled the entire house. Do you know what didn't fill the entire house? Martha's serving. There's no fragrance. But there's fragrance with a person who breaks open something of worth. Your heart, your life, your prayer. I adore you. I need you. So I'm here again this morning saying, if I don't have you today, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need you. I will not be distracted from this one thing that's necessary. I can serve you all my life, and I can miss being alone with you, hearing a word that'll change my life. Someone said this, prayer is both the thermometer and the thermostat of the local church, because the spiritual temperature either goes up or down depending upon how God's people pray. We need to pray. So I'm encouraging you, when we call a prayer meeting, and I'm not talking about every week, Monday night, Monday, maybe you can't be here, but when we call special prayer meetings, I'm asking you to stop everything in your calendar, if at all possible, and join together with us. We're going to have times coming up, not only ending this year, but coming into the new year as well, where we fast and pray. I'm going to ask you, unashamedly, to skip a meal. Maybe skip a meal for a day if you're healthy and you can do that. And to get alone with God and help us pray and connect with God in a new way. Because I don't know about you, but what if how we've been praying has produced what we've produced, then I'm saying we need a breakthrough. Come on, everybody. We need a breakthrough. I want to see God moving in campuses. Come on, everybody. I want to see high schools and colleges. I want to see the region turn to Jesus. Amen. So we can raise the prayer thermometer, the temperature of prayer in our own life, in our own families, and in our church, and see what Jesus is doing. Let's talk real quick as we close. Acts, several times in the book of Acts about what happens when God's people pray. Acts 1 says that as they prayed and asked God for guidance, they prayed as the church prayed. Who's going to replace Judas? Who's going to replace Judas? God gave them the answer. Acts chapter 1, 120 of them were in the upper room crying out to God, asking God, seeking God for the Holy Spirit. They didn't even know what it meant. And 120 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the scripture says they continued steadfasting, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, communion, breaking the bread, and in prayers. Acts chapter 4, the church got together after they told them, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. The church got together and they refused to listen to that ungodly request. And they came together to pray to God, and they asked God for boldness and courage, and that they could speak up in the name of the Lord, and that God would grant signs and wonders and miracles. And the Bible said evidently God liked what they prayed, and the whole building was shook, a manifestation of his power. Acts chapter 8, Peter and John prayed. Men in the church and the people of Samaria were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Acts chapter 12 says Peter was thrown in prison and he was about to be executed the next day. And there was a prayer meeting at John Mark's house, and the believers that says that they were constantly praying to God for his deliverance and his release. And supernaturally, angels came down and opened up not only Peter's cell, but everybody else's cell. Come on, everybody. Come on, some supernatural signs and wonders are going on. Acts 13, 5 of the ministry leaders who were prophets and teachers got together to pray and seek direction. And Paul and Barnabas received their missionary call and were sent out to evangelize unreached areas for Jesus Christ. Acts 16, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, but they prayed and they worshiped God in the middle of that. And God shook their prison. And again, every jail cell was open and the jailer and his family got saved. Listen to me. Come on, everybody. We need to pray. We need to pray. Collectively, individually, yes, but collectively. A praying church, listen to me, a praying church is like a city on a hill. It's like a city on a hill. A praying church, a praying people. Where light's shining and it gives light, it gives revelation, it gives hope, it gives trust, it gives belief that there can be something different in their life. Listen to me, there is no light without prayer. There's no light without prayer. I need God, pray. I need God in my life and my family, get alone tomorrow morning. I need help at my job, get alone tomorrow morning. The nation of Israel had a prayer calendar. They would pray three times a day, around 9 o'clock in the morning, around noon, and around 3. How about you maybe set an alert in your phone? Time to pray, time to pray. Pray at lunch, get alone, take a little walk, pray. Get alone with God, read some scriptures. Lord God, my heart just in this second right now is just directed right back to you. It's just redirected to you, Lord God. I need you in my life again this morning. I need you right now at lunch. I'm getting ready to go into a meeting. I need some wisdom today to close this deal. I'm going to have a difficult conversation with a coworker. Lord God, I'm asking you to give me some insight. I'm going to trust you right now, but I'm making my plea before you. Whatever it is, individually, corporately, collectively, in the family. You get around your kids and what's going on? How can I pray for you? What's happening at school? Not just I need to go talk to the teacher. I need to talk to the principal. Cool, do that. But how about you pray before you go? So you don't get off in the flesh and you come off as some fanatical stupid head. Can I say that? I did say that. I need God to temper my mouth, temper my aggression, temper me. I need you in my marriage. So before I see a counselor, I'm going to pray. Before I ask a friend, I'm going to pray. Don't change him. Don't change her. Change me. Change me. Change my heart. Individually. And then also collectively and corporately for us as a church, we come together and we pray and we ask God for mercy in our region, for safety in our region, for protection for our police officers and our special, keeping the borders safe. And Lord God, we want God in the middle of San Diego County, and we want your will here. Churches open, the power of God working, moving, something happens. when we pray. What's God want? What's like an end game, if you will? Ephesians 3, a prayer we pray all the time, but verse 21. He ends this prayer, the Apostle Paul, to the church at Ephesus. This whole scriptures before is talking about prayer. And he says this, to God, be glory in the church. Notice that phrase, be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever, amen. What's God want in the church? He wants glory in the church. What's glory? His manifested presence, his power, his fame, his renown to be in the church. His presence comes when we pray. Listen to me. The glory means the weightiness of God comes in a room, comes in your life. Have you ever prayed and it just gets not bad heavy, but just, you know, there's something different. Heaven, weightiness. If you've ever been in a room where somebody of spiritual significance comes in, like my terminology, like a general man or a woman, we could say, wrong term, but like a king or a queen, if you get it. They come in a room and they carry themselves with just weight, glory, not natural, I'm just about spiritually. And you go, they're different. When God comes in our presence, when we come into his presence, there'll be times that you go, God is amongst us. God is here. To him be glory in the church. Me, you, part of the church, my family, our church, and our city. By Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Come on, amen. I want you to stand up. We're going to do something different today. And let me explain. And I'm not going to try to freak you out. And if you want to participate, cool. And if you don't, cool. We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about it individually for a family. And we've been talking about it collectively as a church. So here's what I want to do. Really sense we need to do this morning. Never done like this, like I'm about to do. I'm going to ask that you just turn around to some people around you. And don't, let me explain. And if you're a little nervous, it's all cool. But if you've got something going on in your life that isn't so not revealing, just you'd say to the people around you, you know, I need you in my life. I got something going on at work. I got something going on in my family. I got something going on with my kids. Really can't get into all, but I'm just needing somebody to help me pray. Listen to me. I believe there is answers today as we ask him to help us right here, right now. Where it's not coming, listen to me and hear me, not coming from me calling you up here to pray for you, and we do that regularly, but where we say we as the church are connected with each other, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to believe God, and you might not know exactly what to say, but can I tell you something? As you put your hand on that brother, that sister, you're just saying, I'm with you. God's presence is here. God's presence is here. And somebody around just to pray. And let's believe God, that God will work in us this morning in Jesus' name. So listen to me. Turn around. Find somebody. You that are bold, say, can I help you pray? 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 Can I help you pray?